From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
It's an exciting week here at PDGA Radio. We've got the national tour season kicking off and some big staffy news to talk today. I'm Steve Hill, and I'm joined by Sarah Lamerson. Sarah, how's it going? I heard you had a decent weekend. Maybe not great weather.
No, the weather was absolutely terrible, and I was sick trying to get over a little bug. But I ate a lot of Alka-Seltzer and got through it.
So, thought you were going to say something else, but that works. And you did come out victorious, right? So maybe
I
you got a new sponsor, new Alka-Seltzer sponsor.
Yes, hopefully. So I get really affected by cold medicine, and even if it's non-drowsy, it just makes me feel really loopy and foggy. So knowing that I was going to play this event on Sunday, I had to stop taking anything on Friday, because I knew if I took it on Saturday night and woke up on Sunday, I would feel crazed. So I stopped taking it, and it was raining or just misting or something during both. It was just a mixture of all types of precipitation all throughout both rounds on Sunday. And played both rounds over my rating, and I came out the champ. So first event of the year was successful.
Very nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Plenty to talk about. Big show today. We are going to talk Wintertime Open. We are going to talk Las Vegas Challenge, first national tour event kicking off this week. Spoiler alert, it's going to be cold, even though it's in the desert. So yay. And we'll do some hot rounds, but we got to give a couple shout outs first, Sarah. We missed a couple things on the show last week.
A lot.
Like 20 minutes after the show, Sarah's like, oh, I forgot to mention this thing. And I was like, all right, we'll do that. Sarah, without further ado, give me a couple shout outs, and then we'll get to the big news of the day.
Okay. So the first was that Kathy and Steve Hardiman were on Wheel of Fortune. And I knew this because Kathy had posted it on Facebook a couple days before, but I got the most adorable phone call from my grandmother, and she was like, do you have the TV on? And I had to remind her that we don't have cable. So she was like, oh, she doesn't understand what Netflix or
right
any Sling is or anything like that. But she was like, oh, I'm watching Wheel of Fortune, and this couple says that they're professional disc golfers. And mind you, she's 93 years old. She's never seen me throw a disc, but she totally understands the concept and has seen all sorts of videos and pictures and stuff. But she was so excited to tell me that she saw these people on Wheel of Fortune. And I was like, yeah, I know them. And she was just amazed that I even knew who they were. So yeah, congratulations to the Hardimans for being on Wheel of Fortune. I heard, unfortunately, that they did not win a trip to Hawaii, but pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Yeah, my folks called me up and were like, hey, there's these people who are disc golfers on the show, which is pretty cool. And then we had, you know, a little discussion about it on our like PDGA Slack channels and everything. So
awesome.
Pretty cool. Nice to get some. We needed to get them like shooting some putts with Pat Sajak or something.
I know. That would have been cool.
Pretty sweet. Yeah. All right. Another shout out. You know what, Sarah? This was a really good one too. I'll give this one because I'm also aware of this one. Jordan Castro posted on Facebook that in the last 3 years, he has lost 200 pounds and was down another 25 during this off season. He's like a completely different person.
Yeah, and
man. It's so great to see him healthy and happy, hitting the road. I just saw he's going to be coming out to Vegas too. Him and Chris Clemens and Adam Fosberg were getting an RV and about to cruise out. And that's just such an amazing story of how dedicated and how hardworking he's been.
Yeah, it's so inspirational. And he mentioned that he's been working with Seth Muncy at Disc Golf Strong, as a lot of the pros have been on the off season. Right. But that's just so cool. Like, I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago that a couple women and I started a ladies discspiration Facebook group for these exact stories. So that was really inspirational for me to see at that time. So congratulations, Jordan.
Yeah, very cool. Another quick shout out, PGA World Champion Paige Bierkus and 2017 Rookie of the Year Grady Shue got engaged over last week. So very exciting for them. couple of really nice kids out on the road, traveling around, and you know, finding love and all that lovey-dovey stuff. Man, they couldn't have told me before the Valentine's Day show.
Anyway, oh, I know. True. Missed opportunity. Missed connection.
Missed connection. Oh, goodness. The biggest news, though, this week that we got to talk about before events and everything like that, the PGA just announced today, you're probably listening to this tomorrow, but still, we have hired one Des Redding as our new youth and education coordinator. Can't think of anyone more qualified. She's been a long time, you know, long time teacher in the game, you know, working with Edge, donating to youth, going in and teaching people at, you know, physical education conferences, things like that. There were 58 people who applied for this job, Sarah.
Wow.
And,
I mean, that there's, like you said, during the interview, I couldn't think of anyone who's better suited for this position. I mean, there's nobody who has that kind of experience. So yeah. I'm not surprised, but I'm really excited for the future of the PGA and growing youth disc golf and education.
Same here. And I think that's as good a segue as we're going to have into our chat with Des. So let's go to that. We're going to talk with her about the new education position and what kind of mark she's hoping to leave on the organization. When we're done with that, we'll come back and get to the events from over the weekend and coming up. So we'll be back here with Des Redding on PGA Radio in just one moment. Joining us now on PGA Radio is disc golf Hall of Famer, four-time world champion, and owner of a list of accolades that probably stretch all the way from where I am in Southern California to where she is right now in Texas. And she is now the PGA's new youth and education coordinator. Welcome to the show, Des Redding. Des, first of all, congratulations. Thank you for joining us today. How you doing?
I'm really good today. It's been a pleasure to join you. I'm excited to talk about everything that's going on with PGA and myself.
Yeah, it is very exciting. So for people who maybe aren't caught up on the news, Des is going to be our new youth and education coordinator and basically going to be taking over and shaping the PGA's outreach to younger players, teachers, everything like that. So we're really excited. I'm sure a lot of other people are super pumped too. And I can't think of anyone really more qualified. But, you know, let's start off with this. You know, we know you're a great competitor, obviously. Tons and tons of victory. I mean, over 200 career wins, majors, NTs, the works. So we know the competition side of you, but maybe for people who don't know your educational background, you know, give us a little, take us down memory lane a little bit. How did it really start for you as, you know, an educator when it comes to disc golf?
Okay. Yeah. When I'm actually not a certified teacher, so I did not get a university degree as a teacher. I did have a minor in coaching, and even in my teens, I would be a hired softball pitching hitting coach. So I've always had a real knack for breaking down form, being able to explain it or instruct it back to someone. And I can even remember at a very early age being a real game leader in the neighborhood where I could make up the games, administer the rules. But some other things that really stood out to me playing within that neighborhood and kind of assuming that game leader role was the ability of the whole group or the neighborhood to work together. And I think I've always used that when I've gotten to the educational realm and instructed people or taught or coached. I used it when I was coaching my softball team. And then so with disc golf and education, it was pretty instantaneous. I took all that background that I had with the coaching minor and just my freelance softball pitching clinics and coaching that I would do. And in 2002, when Jay and I moved down from Iowa to Texas, Texas allowed you to become actually a certified long-term substitute. So I went through the programming and became a long-term permanent sub in the Austin School District, in the ISD. And in that particular first year of being down here in 2002, we landed permanent jobs at the newly formed Aikens High School in Austin. And just, you know, being go-getters and researchers, all of a sudden, we found some disc golf equipment that John Houck had donated to the Austin School District. And it's in the big district-wide warehouse, but nobody is using it. No one's checked it out. And So Jay and I just was like, well, can we check it out? And, you know, our school was like, well, what would you like to do with it? And we were like, well, we'll just start an after school program. So, you know, we moved down here to pursue disc golf work. Jay was a certified K-12 teacher. So he had the automatic in, and it seemed like a really good career path for me to follow. So like I said, I went through all the trainings to be a certified substitute teacher. And the after school program just blossomed. You know, it started with just maybe seven or so kids. By mid semester, we had over 30 students. Parents, teachers would drop by to check it out.
Awesome.
And 30 was outstanding in 2002. And in that same year, so in the fall, this is in the spring, in the fall, I won my first world championships. And that qualified me at that time for the US DGC. And in that same kind of fateful round, I was paired with the first world champion, 1982, Harold Duvall. And we just started chit-chatting. You know, I love disc golf and the social aspects. And so, you know, a round is kind of a perfect opportunity to have a meet and greet. And Harold and I hit it off, and we started an after-school program. And he was really interested in forming a complete programming for disc golf in education. And being on tour at that point in time, Jay and I had some extra days to give. We stayed and were part of the first conceptual meeting, which would now become EDGE.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I guess from the very beginning, when I first kind of got into disc golf and moved down to pursue it, I took the opportunity to teach it too. And so I had been instructing at some forts, you know, in some sense since 2002.
I love how organically that all came about. And now the EDGE program is huge. We just saw all the money that was raised this past year. I know that it's big at USDGC and lots of other places around the country. So that's really cool. I never heard that story.
Yeah, it does show you the power of disc golf. If you actually take an opportunity to meet someone, it's such a unique sport where we have a great demographic of people, and we can reach out and network and touch a lot of people play disc golf that come from a very very background. So
That's a great point.
Talk while you're out there.
Yep. We've played together. I'm a pretty big talker. I do a lot of networking myself, so that's pretty cool.
There you go.
Yeah. So the role that for the PDGA is pretty open-ended, but what do you want to do? What direction do you want to take the new position in?
I think it's interesting. It's so open-ended, and everyone wants to know, like, all right, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I think the first thing that I need to do is I need to gather data. You know, I need to figure out what is out there, because I think the worst thing I could do would be to spread a scope out too thin. You know, I need to find out what is out there, what is hitting, what is missing. You know, are after school programs are the way to go? Is it only bringing it into the physical education realm, because not everybody can attend after school programs? You know, there's a lot of factors in there that I think a good amount of data research is going to narrow that funnel down. The good thing that I bring to the table is, of all my years of working with disc golf and education and EDGE, I have seen a lot, and I write notes, and I have a pretty much like a pocket full of keys. So depending on what direction or where the data will dictate, I've kind of got a solution or a good idea to fill in those gaps. I have a good idea where it's going to lead me, but I just want to make sure I'm going in that right direction. So I'm gathering data. We're going to network out to what's out there, and then I'm just going to use my years of cheat sheets and put programs out there.
I was going to say, I know you and I had a chance to talk a week and a half ago or so, a little bit more about this role, and I know, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. Like, give me one of your big, you know, grand scheme ideas. Maybe it doesn't happen, you know, year one. Maybe it doesn't even happen year five. But like, you know, big grand idea that you see for education and the PDGA.
Okay, well that's fair enough, because you qualified it like a year to 5 years.
Yeah, sure. It could be.
You know, you're like, that's great. Yeah, just even just in this first less than 24 hours, I can give you an example. I've been contacted by an individual who is just requesting open-ended help when the Pro Tour comes to town to reach his schools, and a general question on how to start their new course. You know, so you can see where, you know, even the membership has an open-ended idea of what is going on with this job. But for me, I really, being in the education, this links back to the after-school programming and the equipment that was left in the gym locker room, is we have to empower the teachers. So in one of the articles, I alluded to trying to create a certified training program. And I think the PDGA, just like the tournament directors, we have the resources to support something like this. And that is going to be able to allow a certified trainer to go into the schools and present disc golf in a knowledgeable way. And it could be twofold. You know, it can be an assembly driven. It can be a few classes. It can be, which is most important to me, is training the teachers, because they're ones that are actually left at the school. If we just leave equipment at a school, you have to have the knowledge to teach it. And when you teach it correctly, then it allows the students to really get behind it also. If all of a sudden, you know, just throw out, you know, classic old roll out the balls or throw out the frisbees and two people get hit in head, you know, hit in the head, it's over.
Right.
And it's not a good experience. So there has to be some, and that's where the certified training, I think this is a very exciting thing. I kick around a couple gala events to tie into the Hall of Fame Classic. There are some really good things out there. But I'd say those are the two that I feel like are the most achievable to start with. And then again, this networking is going to be a really good factor for the PDJ to focus in everything we've got with kids disc golf. You know, they're doing lots of great things on the tournament side of it. Edge does wonderful things with the in-services and the, not so much in-services, but leaving curriculum packages behind. Eagle Wing reaches out to a lot of demographics that nobody touches. Universal Play is doing some wonderful things. And then just some of the older things like the School of Disc Golf and Explore Disc Golf in Michigan. There's Disc Monkey. There's so many organizations out there. Throw Pink, Throw Colorado, that are out there working to promote disc golf and education. But the one thing that doesn't happen is we have nothing to tie them together. And so I just want to be able to try to figure out how to tie all of us together.
That's a huge testament, the fact that you are already contacted in 24 hours about what you can do to help tie everything together. So that's amazing. So speaking of that, what has the reaction been like? I've seen the PDGA obviously put out an article announcing the great news, and Innova did as well. And I'm going to miss you being our team captain, but understand that taking a role with the PDGA, you can't be a sponsored player anymore. But what has your reaction been so far to the news, or other people's reaction been to the news?
Yeah, I mean, you can see people, even in the article, this is the job will not start until, you know, at some point in April, but people are excited, and that excitement, you know, it's been a great day. I've had complete support, and it's wonderful to have that feeling entering this position, to have the confidence of the PDGA and the membership behind you, and this enthusiasm to have people already giving shout outs like, hey man, you know, how can you help me out? And you know, personally, I've been flooded with some endearing, you know, wonderful things that friends, acquaintances, disc golfers have said, you know. And I got to give two kind of big shout outs to Daniel Vargas, who gave me the very first, you know, kind of hell yeah, attaboy girl text. And Holly Finley came through with the very first email through my, you know, my inbox. And it was very touching. So awesome. It's been a great day for me.
That's cool. Now, obviously, you were largely involved with Edge, and I know part of you taking on this role means you might be stepping back from that, as I understand. So what does that mean for Edge going forward? I know Jay is still going to be working with it. What's the future of that program? Because obviously it's doing so much good. You know, were you brag. Were you the glue holding that one together?
No, that is all Jay.
All right.
yep, Jay is the glue for the Edge program. For me, taking this position, I have stepped back, and I will not be doing any daily activities with Edge anymore going forward. So that is my position with Edge. You know, it's a tough leave, but I feel like it is in great hands. Jay has fostered the program phenomenally over the years. It has a solid team behind it. all the, you know, all the numbers point to doing a really wonderful job in the educational disc golf realm. It is actually the, you know, it's the industry leader. So now my new role when working with Edge is just that. It's working with Edge, just like some of the other organizations that I mentioned, because Edge has been doing disc golf education since 2003. You know, it is the one, if anybody was to take this position, they would be looking at Edge for guidance or historical facts or trends, because they've been around, they've seen it all, and they've always been in the forefront of it. So it's a good organization to tap for resources as the PDGA starts narrowing its focus into the disc golf and education.
So I'm sure we have lots of listeners who are parents or potentially teachers who maybe won't go through the full educational program in the future, but what are some tips that you can give to them if they want to help their kids or students connect with the sport?
Yeah, so complete programming is always the greatest way to have the largest impact, and it brings about the most sense of legitimacy to our game and sport. But I think just a quick tip would be, you know, the after-school programs, or think about a monthly league that you can get. Flag football, little league baseball. These are all things that have kind of outside league orientated organizations. And they're still organizations. And, you know, that's another idea I've been kicking around with the PDGA, is forming some kind of like small disc golf league, similar to like flag football or little league. So, you know, again, that's where the data research is going to find all these pockets of ideas that I've been fostering for a while. And the PDGA has such a great resource behind it that I think we can make a lot of them come to fruition. So for parents, keep it easy. Everyone says it. We've always done that with Edge also, you know, the traveler basket's a great basket because it kind of flops in there. I know PDGA rules actually state sometimes if it goes through the top, you know, it doesn't state, it's changed. If it goes to the top, it doesn't count anymore. But, you know, in a school setting or in the fun, I want to try to get my class or my kids involved in it. You got to count it. You know, at some point you're going to learn the rules, but you want to have the greatest amount of fun at all possible. And so keeping things light, knowing what your age demographic might handle. Maybe a 8-year-old is not going to be able to play 18 holes. So don't force 18 holes on someone and create just your 8-year-olds that are all pockets together. That's the best thing to do, is to keep things really light and keep the kids moving. They want to be involved and they want to move.
Those are great tips.
Now, I know this one might be a little bit of a tougher question, since you do have quite a long history to pull from for this, but I'm hoping you can share with us and the rest of the listeners, what's one of your best memories from teaching, whether a teacher or a student, about disc golf? Like, is there something that you really draw back, you know, and look back to for inspiration, or just if you need like a lift occasionally?
Yeah, that's a good one. I can think of a bunch. Yeah, my eyes are rolling back in my head right now as I'm scrolling through the many. Time machine. You know, and it might be a pretty good time machine too. So it actually isn't it's not actually a one-on-one teaching moment, but it did occur during one of the TAFRT events, which is the Texas Association for Health, Physical Education, Recreation, and Dance. So Jay and I have always been feature presenters for disc golf. It's the Tapers and the Big Shape Shows, which is just the national version of the PE. And so in one of these sessions, we had Deanna Shake, who was a professor at Abilene Christian University. And afterwards, you know, we always had some grant monies rolling around, but the university, you know, we try to keep it in 3rd through 12th grade. But Deanna, you know, she could just see the power that disc golf would have. And she is a go-getter. So Deanna Shake went back to Abilene, Texas, went to the university and fundraised. And she fundraised and she fundraised. And she ended up getting a campus course. It had custom baskets drilled into rocks, a big old kiosk from a stone that cost, I think, around $10,000. These are all donated things.
Wow.
And that was all because of the presentation that we did. And then we just keep, Deanna just keeps with it. So this is just one person and a whole big group of, you know, 100 educators that were around just for this one presentation that we had. So then Deanna puts a course in, she instructs. So then Edge does step up and we give her the curriculum and the programming. All of her classes to this day have been sold out. She runs about 2 every semester. She was awarded the Educational Disc Golf Award through the PDGA. And she also, she's the coach for the Abilene Christian University Wildcats, who this year have qualified for the United States Collegiate Disc Golf Championships. So here's just one person that was in a big free presentation that has made a humongous, long impact on disc golf. So I think that really does show the power when you present something really well, the power of the game, the power of the lifetime aspect of it. And I think those two things were the key for me was game and activity and lifetime. I guess it's 3 because the kids at the university kids that are playing in the collegiate level, they're all PDGA members and they get it as a sport, but they were introduced to it as a game. So if we introduce it as a game, we're going to have a great turnaround of people who find it as a sport. So that's the pattern of growth that I really want to concentrate on, is instilling the lifetime activity, the game of disc golf. The sports will come. I was introduced to it as a game, and then I took it as a sport. And now I'm going to bring it back as a game, and it's just going to be this great wheel cycle or a ping pong paddle back and forth.
That's amazing.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Shout out. So I stalked your PDGA event page a little bit and see that you are, or your profile page a little bit, and saw that you are registered for GBO. What other events can we expect to see you at as a competitor this year?
Yeah, we got to remind everybody, you are still competing. This isn't, you're not just taking this job and not playing anymore.
That is correct. Not. Yeah, I had, yes. No, I still love to play. It's a great game. I want to play. So I am signed up for GBO. I hope that still keeps going. I'm still kind of just playing some disc golf here and there. We will be in New Zealand. So we will be playing the New Zealand Nationals coming up, the 20th anniversary for that event in Paradise. So that will be my first event back. I was supposed to play the disc golf cruise, but we never made it to the island because
all right,
of the epic
we gotta talk about
sailboat. That's right. But so I am going to be playing around, and I really do want to play GBO. I mean, I haven't checked the registration yet, but I know there was like 40 at one point in time. So what a fun field to play in. I mean, oh my gosh, I remember days when we, you know, 40 was the maximum that you could possibly get at a world championship if you were lucky. And now I'm just pulling it at all events.
Okay, so yeah, I don't even know why I didn't bring up the cruise. I apologize. So you're going to have to tell us about the disc golf cruise that didn't go as planned.
Yeah, you can't quite make up 18 holes on a cruise ship. We try. We thought about it, but it just won't work. Yeah, it was definitely no reflection on Sun King, Mike, and Cindy, and Jay and I as hosts, and you know, the Epic, it just did not work. It lost an engine, I think, on day one and a half or something. You could even just feel it blow. And then we were slowed to a crawl and limped in. And I think if anybody puts up the NCL Epic fail, you're going to watch us take out San Juan's pier. We crushed 2 concrete slabs and tore a good old, not a gash, but
it's pretty wild. I watched
boat.
The video. It's pretty crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I missed this. I need to catch up on that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It just kept getting better and better. So missed 2 ports and then hit the pier, took it out.
Those 2 ports were where you guys were supposed to hop out and actually do the disc golf portion of the disc golf cruise, right?
The 3rd port, the final one that we missed, was where we were supposed to actually play the disc golf cruise. The other 2, we had a fun little snorkeling adventure. We didn't disc golf rally and found a great Ocean Lab brewery that had a beautiful beach access right on the water. And we ran a phenomenal putting league. It was a triple decker brewery. And like I said, beach access. So it had something for everybody when we did have that impromptu dock in San Juan. Just missed the San Juan Dignitary Open that is going on. It went on the week before, I think. And then a week later, this week, actually Edge sent a package to Puerto Rico in efforts of the disc golf that they've got going on through AJ and Avery Jenkins.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Awesome. So, yeah, the Epic just kept getting on and on, and we never did get off the boat. We came in late, 12 hours. Everyone had to rebook flights. I had to rebook a flight. Half the time, people's toilets didn't work.
Brutal.
Oh, no.
So it was brutal. We did some sailing out there, but met a huge amount of great disc golfers. So we had a nice time of just mixing and mingling. I ran a scavenger hunt up and down the cruise. We had cruisers striking disc golf poses. That was one of the things, was to get four random Epic cruisers, not disc golfers, to strike poses with frisbees or discs that you had on hand.
Love
so
it.
That was awesome. Pretty good checking all those back and people's thoughts of what actually a disc golf pose was. So we made a great impact out there. It was a lot of fun. I mean, well, it's always a lot of fun, even though we didn't get a play.
I was going to say, it sounds like you made the best of a rough situation.
A little bit, yeah. And then
lived to tell the
and
tale.
And then I came home. I came home and had to watch an hour worth of boat smashing into docks. Just couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah,
I was actually out on my balcony. I had port side. I got to see all that go down. We were all out
there.
Wow.
No way.
Incredible.
Wow. We'll have to link the video
Titanic all over
in the description.
Again.
It's pretty wild.
It is.
Well, we're glad you guys made it out unscathed, and we could not be more happy to have you join our staff, Des. So thank you for joining us on the show today. Congratulations again on the position. And, man, I know we are all so, so pumped to be working with you. So looking forward to many more of these kind of talks and catching up soon.
I think we're going to have plenty of them because, again, like I said, I have tons of ideas. They might seem aloof or a lot out about, you know, kind of like I didn't give a whole lot of details out there. But, you know, that is the position. We're going to all work together and make this really happen for the PDJ. It's a good disc golf movement that we got going on. Oh, yeah. I'm going to save it. I'll save it to next time.
Hey, all right, good. We got a teaser. I love it. We got to keep a little drama going. That's great. All right.
Ideas just come so easy.
Yeah, hey,
I'm writing it down
good.
Right now.
You're gonna have to take over the show and one of these weeks, and I'll take the week off. You can get people excited. It'll be perfect.
So, no one can replace you, Steve Hill.
Well, I appreciate that, Des.
You can replace me. It's okay.
No. We
just want you out on the course there.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. All right, well, Des,
I'll
thank
you
again.
Time off.
Congratulations, yeah. And looking forward to seeing everything that you do with the new role. That was Des Redding, the new Youth and Education Coordinator for the PDGA. We'll be back here in just a moment on PDGA Radio. Thanks again to Des, and I'm glad that her and Jay and everyone out there on the disc golf cruise survived, but she did tell us a little some context. She gave us a little story off the air. I was telling her, and this is something that I'm not ashamed to admit, I am very anti-cruise.
Have you been on a cruise before?
No. And here's why, Sarah. Okay. Here's why. Every time you hear about a cruise, here's what happens. Someone goes on it and mysteriously does not come back. Or the cruise they're on the news, and the reason they're on the news is because the entire ship like came down with debilitating norovirus and was ill the whole time. And I'm sorry, those things are not compatible with what I want to do for vacation. So very anti-cruise, and just, you know, running into a taking out a dock and not being able to go to the different ports, that just adds to my cruise sentiment. So anyway,
I have also never been on a cruise, but I think I've mentioned that we want to get to Antarctica to play disc golf, and that's the only way we can do it. So
you have to. You can't like fly in on a plane.
I think you probably can, but it's. I think the most inexpensive way to do it is just to cruise around there.
Interesting.
We were looking into it, and that seemed like the best bet. So,
all right,
I may be taking a cruise in the next couple of years, and hopefully, I return.
Yeah, well, I hope so too. I don't want to find a new co-host.
Yeah.
You know, other things too. But anyway, I was sharing that with Des, and she told us that someone, I think it was someone that they were cruising with, used to, and he was a former touring disc golfer, and I forget his name off the top of my head. I apologize. But he also used to be a cruise director, and his tip for them was like, you know, if bananas start mysteriously showing up on the menu, that means that somebody might have died on the cruise, because apparently, I don't know, they keep lots of bananas. They keep lots of bananas on a cruise, but don't serve them. And then the banana cooler is a good temperature to like have to preserve someone's body in, which is, this is terrible. Now that I'm saying this, it sounds really bad. But then all of a sudden, like, they started having like bananas Foster and other banana type things on the menu for the cruise. Which, I mean, look, I'm sure it was one of those things where it was like, maybe it was a medical emergency. I don't think it was anything nefarious or anything like that.
But. Yeah. Well, she said initially that there was like a code blue or something.
Yeah, something like that.
And then, the cruise staff started, maybe not freaking out, but like chatting amongst themselves. And then the bananas started showing up. So
I kind of feel like if you're a giant.
All of that.
I feel like if you're a giant cruise ship, you're going to be out in the middle of the sea. You maybe need to have some kind of like emergency room or possible morgue scenario that is not also a place where you store food.
Yeah.
I feel like there's got to be standards to that. Hopefully this is just like an old wives' tale.
Maybe they just thought their guests needed some added potassium.
That's
maybe they looked a little bit low on potassium. Yeah.
They're probably partying too hard and needed to hydrate. That's exactly what I'm going for. Anyway, after that aside, let's get to the real news. Wintertime Open was over the past weekend. We talked about it last week. We made our picks. It was sloppy looking out there. Southern California, it just got dumped on last week. Like, I was sitting here in my house, and like, it got all the way down here to San Diego area, and I can't remember the last time there was a storm this big, at least during daylight hours. I'm sure overnight it's been, but it was like howling wind all day. Just buckets of rain and stuff. And that was on Thursday, and Wintertime Open started Friday. So the course was soppy. It rained actually that first day, so more still. And, you know, conditions weren't ideal. And you can kind of tell on the coverage, if you go watch some of the coverage, which not all of it's out yet, but it's on Central Coast Disc Golf. And, you know, you can kind of tell that the weather was a factor, but it wasn't as, and actually it ended up being a factor on Sunday during the final round. It rained a little bit, but emerging victorious in the open division was Adam Hammes, who, younger player. I don't think he's maybe 18. I don't know his age off the top of my head.
Is that young?
He's maybe 18 or 19. He's pretty young. I remember at Worlds at 2017 Worlds, when he was on final round league card.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say he was only like 16 or 17 then, but I'll look while we're talking here, because now I'm curious. He's almost 20. My bad. He'll be 20 next month. So still very young.
He's a teenager.
He's a teenager still. Came back for the win with a 10-65 final round. And
he went 10. Yeah, he's 10-13 rated. He went 10-12, 10-46, 10-65.
It's pretty
very good. Very impressive. Yeah.
He's got some skills. Like, I remember watching him at Pro Worlds, and he can sling it. So I'm pumped. I hope he gets out on the road a little bit more this year. He's a very skilled player. He strikes me as one of those people who we could be talking about at like 10-13 now, and by the end of the season maybe in like the 10-30s or so.
Yeah.
He seems to have a pretty high ceiling.
I'm looking at his player page, and he's signed up for Vegas, the Memorial, Jonesboro, the Rumble, GBO. Okay. Yeah, all the big events.
So a little bit more, touring. He's not doing Waco in there, but a little bit more touring. Yeah. So that's nice. He's up from Wisconsin, I believe. So probably wanting to get away from there right now. Paul McBeth came in second place in his debut with Discraft and trended upward the whole time. 10.04, 10.38, 10.65 for that final round for Paul McBeth. You know, watching the first round, hard to tell if it was weather or discomfort with the new discs or a combination of both. I tend to think, and granted I didn't ask him this, but I've asked Paul this in the past, like, after kind of hurting his back a couple years ago at European Open on a slick tee pad, was it European Open or European Masters? One of the European events on a wet tee pad. You know, hard to think that a little hesitation doesn't creep in occasionally. And there were some shots there where it seemed like he maybe wasn't getting all the way over on him, and things like that. So
yeah,
but still, I mean, you know, 10-65 final round, I do believe he's going to be fine.
Yeah, his putting looked really good.
Against all odds, Paul McBeth is playing well, people.
Yes, his putting looked confident to me. He's putting with a Luna, I believe it's called.
Right.
One of his new discs. And he looked very confident to me on the putting green. So,
yeah, I mean, honestly, the only real like tricky parts I noticed, it seemed like on his forehand, he was kind of misfiring high a little bit sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch all of his like spotlighted second round, which that was pretty cool that Central Coast did that. They had, and we should let's give a shout out to Central Coast real quick. They had like a full team there that I think they're also bringing to Vegas with. I think they went four camera coverage. They had their regular throw cam, catch cam, and then a slow-mo cam, and then also a reaction camera where they
literally. That was my favorite.
Dude, it was great. Really, really nice way to bring a little more humanity and a little less of the robotic shot-by-shot stuff to it. And it was really subtle. There were a couple times where like they put it picture in picture. I didn't like it when it was picture in picture as much. I kind of liked when they just cut to it and it was a reaction after the shot. But
I love seeing the emotion.
Nice way to make it more like live sports. You know, that's one of those things that I've always kind of felt is missing in post-production is, you know, it's great. You get to see the high quality in post-production, but you miss some of the feeling, the emotion, because there's a lot of emotion on this golf course, man. Like, And a lot of it doesn't get put in. I mean, I very distinctly remember I did commentary for 2016 Worlds, and there was one point Nico LeCastro like punched the ground in front of him. And like that didn't get caught on film. So I just said it in the commentary. And then same thing, like Riki Wasaki tweaked his ankle at one point. You could tell he was real bad. And like stuff like that doesn't always get into the coverage. And I just really like seeing Central Coast, you know, take it a step up and add that in, because I think it's just it just makes it feel more like live sports.
Yeah. I hope they aren't choosy with what they decide to keep. Because I do think it's important for people to see when players act like little babies on the course. Like I don't know. I don't want to point anyone out, Sarah. No, I don't. I'm not going to call anyone out. But there's certainly people in this sport who have adverse reactions to bad shots, and sometimes as players we see that all the time, and we have to deal with the aftermath.
Yeah.
But the public doesn't get to see it.
It gets cut out, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the public doesn't get to see it, and then they're like, "Oh, so and so is the best person to play with." And they're just like, "No, like they're not."
Honestly, I'm not even advocating. See, you're advocating from the player standpoint. I'm just advocating from like the fan standpoint. Like, I just want to see more emotions and more reactions. Like, that's life. Like, you look at the NFL or Major League Baseball, and like, you see dudes get mad when they strike out or when someone burns them for a touchdown, or you see them celebrate.
Yeah.
And in golf too, man. Golf. Some of these new younger golfers like big celebrations. I wish our golfers need to celebrate more. Like,
I'll do some celebrations. I'll do
some chest bumps. I want to see someone do a chest bump with their caddy this weekend at Vegas.
I like that. I guess we can't do this. Like, throw the disc on the ground and do like the pretending it's a fire. Like, you're warming your hands over the fire.
A good one. Some kind of celebrations. Yeah. Like, if you make a super long putt and you've hit like three long putts in a row, just walk up and act like the basket is a campfire. Just do it.
Yeah, so hot.
Anyway, I'm all for more emotion and more fun in disc golf. Looking at the rest of the leaderboard from Wintertime Open, Austin Hanum, second place, was at the top after the round one. Was he? I think he still might have been leading going into the final round as well. Really enjoy watching his game. This is the first time we got to see him. No, I shouldn't say the first time. He made some coverage last season, but just you know, a little bit more in the spotlight. I really like watching him throw forearms. Or forehands and overhand, Like, he's got some baseball players in that arm.
He does.
And that's pretty fun to watch. And then Eagle McMahon, final round, course record, 1073 rated, 13 under par. I think he said after hole six, he hit like 11 birdies or something like that. Whew. Out of the last 12. Crazy. So pretty good stuff from the Wintertime Open. And then let's not forget about the women's division where, you know, if you listen to last week's show, we're doing the picks and Sarah's like, you know, we talked to Jessica Weiss last week and she's really going into the event and she's looking for some inspiration and she's talking about the Lissamans and how it's their home area and she wanted to do it for them and stuff. And then, but I'm going to pick Katrina Allen.
Sorry, Jessica.
Well, that just left the door for me.
Katrina Allen played so hot too.
They both did really well. 700 par and 300 par, but Jessica Weiss took the win. Nice way for her to start the season. She starts seasons pretty well. I'm going to be curious to see how long she can kind of keep it rolling. Katrina Allen, second, Lisa Fakes in third, Hannah McBeth in fourth, Ellen Widboom in fifth. We're full on into the season now, Sarah. It's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
I do hope that maybe one of these years we can get some women's coverage out at Wintertime Open, because I actually think this would be a really fun course to watch the women at. There's some technicality to it. It's not just having to sit and see them throw bombs or anything. We could see them carve some lines. I think it'd be a lot of fun to have that. So maybe we can get that rolling.
Yeah, there's a lot of holes that the guys are just throwing like spike hyzers over the top of everything, and I'd love to see how the women are tackling those types of holes. So
yeah,
I would love to see that. Well, speaking of wanting to see that, I don't know if this is a great segue, but one of the other some of the other footage that came out of this weekend was from Corey Merle, Johnny Disc Golf. He's got a new YouTube page, and I really enjoyed his little interview with Jessica Weiss after her win. And he's got some other videos on there as well. Lisa Fakis, Eagle, Adam Hammes, and AJ Risley.
Yeah, and that stuff was all kind of, he was doing some on his YouTube channel, some just exclusively on Facebook, mixed with like some shots and highlights and really, really nice stuff. That's the kind of stuff that I'm happy to see him out there doing. And it is interesting though. It's kind of brought up this whole discussion because it's the beginning of the season and people were really pumped for this event, obviously, because it's the first higher profile one of the year with McBeth and Eagle and stuff there. And Johnny Disc Golf put out the you know, an interview with Adam Hammes being like, hey, Adam Hammes talks about his win at the Wintertime Open. And people are like, spoilers. So let this be my once a year. And actually someone on Reddit just asked if we'd ever talked about this on PDJ Radio and like our thoughts. So here are my thoughts on spoilers. They're going to happen, people. Like
we live in the digital age.
I don't know what to tell you. If you expect to go on the internet and not get information, that's it. That's all it is. The information superhighway literally is what they used to call the internet, people. Like, it's going to be there. And so I think it is incumbent upon people who do not want things to be spoiled to stay away from that. And that doesn't mean, oh, I didn't go on the disc golf subreddit or, oh, you have to close yourself off. And if it gets spoiled, it gets spoiled. Like, I know disc golf is consumed differently than most sports. It doesn't happen in real time, but look, national tour this weekend, it'll be mostly next day coverage, but we have U Disc Live coverage. So technically there is some live coverage and, you know, I'll be going live on Facebook from the PDGA page and stuff like that. Like, there will be some live interaction and ways for you to see things. So like, I'm of the mind that, hey, you just got to either avoid it or why not come out and watch it in person?
Yeah.
I mean, it was in the area, obviously.
Two things for me. A, it was already published on the PDGA website. So it's
like,
not like
gotten results. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like it was breaking news. And B, if Corey or any other media outlet or person had to wait for, I don't know if they thought it was a spoiler because the third round of the Central Coast footage hadn't come out yet. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Well then Corey's got to like wait for that to come out. And then he's just going to be, all the other media outlets just have to wait for everything else to come out. And it's just a big mess.
Yeah. So just, honestly, just like
stay away from it.
I get I get the point. I get the frustration from people. I do. I acknowledge it. I understand that you want to watch the post-production without knowing who's won. But I watch a lot of post-produced stuff having known who wins already, and I still watch it. And I think a lot of people do too. Like, there are a lot of people who follow UDisc Live and then go to see how it happened. So
yeah,
there's a big difference. I mean, like, and again, I think this kind of comes back to what we're talking about a little bit in just the emotional shots and things like that. Like, a lot of what you get out of watching live sports is those ebbs and flows and those waves of emotion. And if we're being honest, we don't really get that in shot-by-shot coverage. I don't think.
Yeah.
Shot-by-shot coverage is pretty much point A to point B, point A to point B, point A to point B, chains. And, you know, there's good commentary and things like that, but there isn't that, like, emotional draw to it. So I can't exactly get on board with the I have to not have things spoiled for me. Like, that's your responsibility.
Well, last thing I'll say about this in this specific situation is, if I saw that Adam Hammes won over the likes of Paul Macbeth and Eagle McMahon, I would have been like, oh my gosh, like, that's crazy. I want to see how he did that.
Sweet. I'm going to see how that, exactly.
Like, yeah. Oh, like, man, I'm not going to watch
that now. I know Adam Hammes won. But no, yeah. I'm going to be like, oh,
especially
Adam
someone.
Won?
Yeah, like, maybe you don't know, you've never heard his name before.
I'm actually less.
I'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah, I'm probably less inclined to watch something if I know Paul or Ricky or someone won, because we've seen all these amazing, phenomenal things. Whereas, like, if it's a younger player, a young up and comer, you kind of want to see how it happens. So, I don't know. I think there's arguments on both sides, but my closing thought will be, if you're expecting to not have things spoiled for you, that's your responsibility. Final thought on Wintertime Open before we talk Vegas. I really enjoyed Eagle McMahon and Ian Anderson on commentary. And I'm put me in the camp of one non-player or non-professional, I shouldn't say, because obviously Ian plays disc golf.
Yeah.
Put me in the camp of a play-by-play commentator plus a pro instead of two pros. Maybe an unpopular opinion, but that is my lukewarm take for this show.
No, I really enjoyed it. I think Ian is a consummate professional and can keep things on track and, you know, has, like, the organizational skills because he's the one actually putting the footage together and putting things into context and all of that. And then Eagle can kind of fill in the color and talk about the layout and what disc was being thrown and all that other juicy disc golf information. So I really like how they played off of each other. I really enjoyed it as well.
Best shot of the weekend. Hoken, I don't know how to say his last name.
I don't either.
Seth?
Kveseth?
I apologize. He's Norwegian. And I've always had trouble pronouncing his name. But his shot on hole 6, second round, that bounced off like a rascal scooter and back in bounds was maybe one of the best things I've ever seen. If you haven't seen it, go watch on Central Coast, or I lifted a screen cap of it and put it on the PDGA Facebook page. Because,
well, now you just spoiled it for everyone who hasn't seen it. I'm just kidding. I'm just happy it didn't hit the man himself. It hit his scooter, thankfully.
I was, like, looking down at his phone too. I don't even.
Oh my gosh! I think he was taking pictures. I heard he's a photographer. But good thing it didn't hit him in the head.
Yeah.
He was, Oof. Ugh.
Could have been a lot different story.
Yes.
So, all right. Anyway, let's take a break, Sarah. We'll have a rules break real quick from Robert Leonard regarding a little bit of the weather and situations like that at Wintertime Open. And then we will come back and talk PDGA National Tour. So we will return here in just a moment on PDGA Radio.
Hi, this is Robert Leonard, PDGA Marshall, and this is the PDGA Radio Rules Break. We're only one week into the 2019 tour season, and we've already got a situation as discussed on Reddit. The situation was at the 41st annual Wintertime Open presented by Supreme Flight on hole 18 in round 1. Paul Macbeth threw his second shot into a stream that had been created due to some heavy rains. The disc never came to rest and began floating down the creek. He then takes his lie outside of the water, right directly where the disc had gone in, despite it being much further down the stream. So the question posed, did he handle this correctly? And the answer is yes. there's actually three rules that come into play here that we have to determine that he did play it correctly. First, we have to determine, is this area out of bounds? Pretty clearly, no. It's an overflow area from the rain, and despite being completely surrounded by water, it is a casual water area. 806.03a says that casual water is any body of water that's in bounds and that has not been declared by the director to be in play. Now we have to figure out is why he was able to relocate his lie to where the disc landed in the water, and that's covered in 805.01b. This says that a thrown disc is considered to be at rest when it first stops moving. A disc in water or foliage is to consider to be at rest when it is moving only as a result of the movement of water. So the fact that the disc has never stopped moving is irrelevant because it is now only moving because of the flow of the water. What's interesting to note here is that this rule does not talk about player's decision. Some people in these situations believe that the player should be able to choose the lie. Let's say that that stream pushed it closer to the basket or around a tree, and people think that you can say, hey, that's a better lie, I'll take play it there. And that's simply not the case. So the group then decides where the disc landed in the flowing water. So now we're in a casual water area, and as 806.03b says, a player can relocate their lie to the nearest point, which is further from the target and is on the line of play. So Paul then does have the option to come back behind that casual water area. Now, the one thing that we do note here is, remember, line of play is not like OB rule. OB rule is played as where you enter the out-of-bounds area. But on these situations, it is line of play, which is directly in line with the pin. So two completely different shots that land in the same spot would have different lies in out of bounds, but the exact same lie in a casual area. Once again, this has been Robert Leonard with your PDGA Radio Rules Blake, reminding you as always, rules are your friend.
Well, speaking about cold weather, we're going to talk about hot rounds. That wasn't a very good segue. Steve's better at those. All right, we're going to start on the women's side. I was very happy to see, so we talked last week, Elaine King had kind of a rough weekend, but she redeemed herself. She played the Hilton Head Invitational in Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, and she shot a smoking hot 970, and that was the fifth hottest rated round of the weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, so we could only go up from here, but that was her third round. She finished 9 under par, quick average. She probably averaged around 940 or 950, and she won that event in a division of 11 women. So, yeah, the Elaine that we all know and love is back. Congratulations. Pretty
cool. Shout out to PGA Director of Operations, Mike Downs, third place tie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he did play, yes.
Plus division.
Very nice, very nice. Yeah. All right, the fourth hottest rated round was at the Heisen Brownie Open Hurl Jam 2019. Love it. And yeah. That was in
Thailand. Yeah.
Yeah, that was in Thailand. Yeah. Oh, and I see Philo is still over there too.
I think what happened is I think maybe this event like came in. I think the ratings or the reporters that might have come in slightly late, because obviously Philo played Wintertime Open. He was back.
You're right.
Like,
yeah.
This was like the end of the week before, but it's cool.
Yeah. Okay. Hanalei Mata.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. She shot a 971 her second round, and she won that event. So congratulations. And we're only getting hotter from here. So
these are some very hot rounds on the women's side.
I know, it's crazy. The third hottest rated round was from the Wintertime Open. Actually, the next three are from the Wintertime Open. And Katrina Allen shot a 996, a 59, her first round. And she took second place, as we talked about. So I thought that when I saw that score come in the first round, I was like, man, that's awesome.
Boom, no one's gonna beat that.
Yeah, and no one's gonna beat her. But then Jessica Weiss ended up, Jessica Weiss took the first and second hottest rounds of the weekend.
Yeah, she's the hot
third. She is the player of the week, yes. She shot a 998 her third round, shooting a 58, and a 1,006 her second round.
Wow.
To obviously take the win by four strokes over Katrina Allen. So very hot. It's always nice to see a female player shooting over 1,000. Love it.
I think we're gonna call that the PDGA radio bump. Like, she came on the show not too long.
Yeah.
And
it was definitely us. Double, we definitely gave her confidence.
I think so.
Yeah.
And if you look at who's on the top of the men's hot rounds, it's a thing too. So we'll get to that. anyway, fifth hottest rated round came from Ron Howell. And this was out at a like flex start C tier out in, I believe this was for, was this along with, oh no, this is out in Florida. I was getting confused, but this is a Gulf Coast Charity Open flex start Friday. And Ron Howell shot a 1060 rated round at that one to go 12 under. His rating is 93.
Wow, so, that's huge.
Quick math, very hot. 77 points above his rating. So
yeah,
nicely done, Ron. Pretty sweet. I love making a shout out like that on the show. All right, next up on the hot rounds list, Nicholas Masters, and this was out at the Gulf Coast Charity Open. He shot a 1062. And I believe this was his final round, but let me double check because I lost one of my tabs. Oh, I'm sorry. It was the second round. So he went 996, 1062, 1023, and he won the event by six strokes. Nicely done, Nicholas Masters. Coming in with the, well, we had two third hottest rated rounds. Both Paul McBeth and Adam Hammes, who we talked about at the Wintertime Open, their final rounds, and they took first and second place, respectively. Nicely done. And then I guess we're at the second hottest rated round. This gets me confused sometimes, Sarah, when they're ties. But this was a 1069 rated round, Scott Kyle. And this was out at the 32 Below Gap, sponsored by Prodigy Disc, up in Ukiah, California. It was probably terrible weather up there this weekend. That's up Northern California at Low Gap. Super old school course. Really, really fun. And 1069 rated round from Scott Kyle to win that event. He took it by eight strokes. Pretty cool. A couple hot rounds out of C tiers this weekend, which is,
yeah,
I think that's great. Love it. And then our last and hottest rated round, both of them from people who played at the Wintertime Open, but from two different events. Philo's Heisen Brownie Open 1073 rated round, where he won that event. And Eagle McMahon's final round, 1073, course record setting performance at the Wintertime Open, were your two hottest rounds of the weekend. And that's a good segue, Sarah, because both Eagle McMahon and Philo Brathwaite are going to be on our champions card at the Las Vegas Challenge, which takes place this weekend in Henderson, Nevada, first PGA National Tour event of the season. I'm excited, even though it is going to be not ideal weather.
When are you heading out there?
I'm heading out there Tuesday night, so I'll be out there all day Wednesday. I think there's a possibility of snow in the forecast Thursday, which,
that's all that.
I'm not really super stoked on being outside all day, if we're being honest. However, if, like, again, we're talking about all the emotions and celebrations. If we get some snow on the ground and someone wants to make a really long putt and then do snow angels, that'll make for really good content, and I'll be really excited.
I'd be very excited about that.
I'm putting that out into the universe right now in hopes. It's probably going to be more in the morning, so I'm going to need one of the women's players to step up for me, hit a long putt, do a snow angel.
Yeah.
I'll buy your coffee to warm you back up after that.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. First national tour event of the season, Las Vegas Challenge presented by Innova Discs. And it's going to be fun. We've got three courses over 4 days at Wild Horse Golf Course in Henderson, Nevada. And here's basically everything you need to know. UDisc Live coverage. So you can go to udisclive.com. Sarah, you wanted to point out actually earlier in the show, we missed this. They have some new stats this year.
Yes. Where was it? I don't even remember what I put on there.
They went with Circle 1X now for putting.
Oh,
which,
yeah,
is where they,
that's right,
tap it to get a better, like a more accurate putting rate.
Yeah.
Which I think that's a nice statistic. And they went and put it in retroactively.
Yeah, they did. Oh, I didn't even look at mine. I need to.
So you're gonna see references to C1X at the beginning of the season. Hopefully they'll just eventually drop the X and that'll be the new Circle One. But yeah. I would imagine there's like a transition time. But pretty cool. If you are gonna be coming out to Vegas and would like to help us with UDisc live scoring, let us know, please. Just hit me up, radio@pdj.com. I'll check that. And or just come out to the event, find the starters table at whatever course the NT field is at, and we will take your help. There is also an A tier. A concurrent A tier. UDisc Live is just for the NT. We're also going to have 5 cards of media coverage, in 3 of those in next day format, 2 of those in next week format. We'll have Jomez on MPO1 and FPO1, Central Coast on MPO2. Those will all be next day. And next week, we will have Terry Miller on FPO2, the disc golf guy, and Gatekeeper Media all the way out from the East Coast coming for some MPO3 action in next week form. Pretty exciting. So Sarah, I don't know if you saw it. Did you see that there was feature card voting going on last week?
I did. I voted for all the women. I'm pretty sure I just liked all of the women's pages and maybe a few men.
So we'll go over feature cards real quick for people who maybe didn't see where they ended up at. So on the men's side, there was a champions card, like I mentioned, the last 4 champions of the event. So we got Eagle McMahon, Ricky Wysocki, Philo Brathwaite, Paul McBeth. That's a pretty great card. On the women's side, we had 3 champions because the last champion at the event isn't playing it. And none of them are. There's only 3 former champions of the event in the FPO division playing it. So we've got Paige Pierce, Katrina Allen, and Jessica Weiss. And then Paige Bierkes, PDGA World Champion, received the most votes. And she will be joining those women on the round 1 feature card. Exciting. Back on the MPO second card side, so this would be on Central Coast Disc Golf, we've got Simon Lazat, top vote getter, Seppo Paju, which is awesome.
Yay!
We're going to get Simon Lazat and Seppo Paju on the same card, throwing bombs. And then also on that same card, Nate Sexton, Greg Barsby, 2 like forehand technicians. So we've got like totally different styles.
Yeah.
On the card. I'm really excited. I talked to Barsby about that and I told him who was on the card and he just busted out laughing. He thought it was hilarious.
it's gonna be fun to watch.
Total polar opposites on those guys. For the second women's card, and this will be in next week form, it's gonna be Kona Panis, Evelina Salonen, who's coming over from Finland, Jennifer Allen, who is a crusher, and Madison Walker. So that's gonna be a super fun card. And then the last men's card is going to be on Gatekeeper Media, and that will be Calvin Heinberg, James Conrad, Zach Melton, and the final winner by, no joke, 2 votes.
Sarah. Ooh, that was close. 2
votes, Paul Uleberry.
Nice.
Just got 2 more votes than his friend, Mr. Jeremy Colling, who was very, very close.
Oh, yeah. Man, I'm going to total. You're surprised? Yeah. No, that's awesome. I was going to say that with all of the disc golf content coming out this year, I'm probably going to lose my job because I'm just going to have so many hours of watching and so little time to actually work.
And then you can just get that RV life there and go live on the road like all these
players. Hey, that's the dream. If someone would pay for my health insurance, I'm there.
So, short aside, if anyone wants to learn more about some players who are doing the same thing again this year, I wrote like my favorite article of the year last week, the 9 to Watch in 19 article.
Oh, yes. I saw that.
And gosh, for fear of like going too long on this show this week, because I could spend a lot of time talking about each of these people, there's still, again, we've got new people hitting the road. This, I know we've mentioned her on the Hot Rounds a couple times, Callie McMorrin from Tennessee. 21 years old. She's going out on the road. She's going to be bringing Haley King with her later in the year, who's like 17.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole Johnson up from Washington State, who hasn't really gotten out much, but is going to be touring full time. She said she was 31. So a little bit later stage in life, jumping into the game. You've got Noah Meinsma, who toured last year, touring a lot more this year. So just, I love that article. Oh, Nathan Queen, another guy, lefty from North Carolina, really really hitting it hard this year after a strong showing at USDGC last year. So do me a favor, go learn about some new players who you might see on some coverage. Cause it's just fun. Like, that's one of those things I forget about, like how much I really enjoy learning everyone's like backstories.
Yeah.
It's just a fun thing to do.
I feel like there's so many up and comers to look for that you could have done 19 and in 2019.
I didn't have, I've got to hold on for 20 and 20. I know. It's the 9 and 19 is already a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot. I know.
But it's fun. One other thing I want to point out, Sarah, when we're talking about all this coverage, this next day video, awesome stuff like that, I want to give a plug. Like, the PDGA has a YouTube channel. It's under PDGA Media. You can find it if you type in PDGA Media, or there'll be links on the PDGA website and our Facebook page and stuff like that. But we're going to be putting out more content this week in Vegas. Like, we had Corey Merle on the show last week, like we mentioned. He's going to be producing, like, high-quality round recap videos. So, all right, maybe you watch the UDisc Live and you want, like, a five-minute digestible thing of what happened. That's going to be your place to go. We're going to try and get some player interviews out, things like that. So keep an eye on our YouTube channel. Keep an eye on our social media channels. We're trying to kind of push it and bring some of that content. Like, we know everybody's got round coverage dialed. Like, but there are a lot more personalities, a lot more action on the course that we want to bring to you. So do me a solid, go over and subscribe to the PGA YouTube channel. Help us get those numbers up. And, you know, make sure you're following us on Facebook, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, it's picks time.
It is picks time. Should we recap where we are sitting with the points from last week and how we've adjusted them a little bit?
Go ahead. I'll let you explain the adjustments.
Okay. So last year we got a little cray cray and assigned quite a few points. And I think we ended up like in the hundreds of maybe not thousands, just in the hundreds. And we just stopped because it was overwhelming, but I won. So we don't need to talk.
You
did. but this year, so we're going to do, last week we said that we're going to assign 1 point if, for instance, if I chose the correct FPO winner, and then 1 point if my top five pick ended up being in the top five. But we decided that we needed to put more weight on choosing the correct winner. So now we are assigning 2 points. Therefore, I chose to win the Wintertime Open, Macbeth and Katrina Allen. Neither of them won, so I got 0. And I chose for my top five, Lisa Fakus and Josh Anthon, and Lisa got in the top five. So I got 1 point for Lisa.
Yes. And I chose Egan McMahon to win and Jessica Weiss. So I got 2 points from Jessica Weiss. And then I got, I chose Philo Brathwaite and Hannah Macbeth for my top five. I got 1 from Hannah there. So I'm up 3-1 going into Vegas with a full head of steam and with the first pick in Vegas. Yes. This is good. And I don't even need to look at the list right now. I should have. But look, if I've got first pick, I'm going, let's start on FPO. I'm going with Paige Pierce because it's Paige Pierce. I don't need to say anything else. Who would you like to pick?
Well, dang. I'm going to go. I am really, out of anyone who is on the coverage for Vegas this year, I am most excited to watch Evelina. We have talked about her endlessly, rightfully so, all last year, and I'm so happy she's coming over to the States to play, and I cannot wait to watch a full round of her playing. So I'm going to go her to win.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if it happened, and I would actually be super stoked if it happened. So
oh my gosh,
I'm cool.
Me too. Yeah.
All right, let's do our top fives on the women's side, and then we'll go just do everyone on the men's side. I'm going to go with Jennifer Allen. I think she's coming in playing really strong lately. She's averaging way over her rating since she moved to Arizona. She's generally been a top five lock in Vegas. She bombs. If she keeps it in bounds relatively well, I think she'll be fine. So I'm going to go Jennifer Allen, top five.
I like it. I'm going to go the other Allen. I picked Katrina to win last week. She played really well. Jessica just got her by a few strokes, but she shot over her rating, and I think she's going to bring it into this event as well. So Katrina Allen for top five.
All right. this pick didn't pan out for me last week, but he did end with a 1073 rated round at the Wintertime Open, which just gives me all the confidence in Eagle McMahon repeating in Vegas. Like, I don't like, I feel like the way Eagle plays just sets up really well for this course. You've got to be precise with power, but he's also not necessarily just trying to go for the wow shot all the time. I think one of the biggest developments we saw in his game last year was his forehand being more solid. I think his control distance is probably, I mean, it's top two or three, I would say, in the field and in the sport. So between that and the confidence he's played with since last year, coming in after that hot round at the Wintertime Open, I'm going to take Eagle McMahon to repeat.
Cool. I'm going to stay consistent and pick another Finnish player to win and go Seppo. Ooh. Yeah. I'm Team Finland. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seppo.
I like him.
He can definitely.
He's been doing lots of training and practicing on the off season. So.
Look, I think if we're being honest, that what's going to make the difference for Seppo is putting. If he can putt, he can do well.
Yeah.
So we shall see. It should be exciting. I'm going to go. All right. So top five. Man, there's so many good players. This field is so ridiculously stacked. It's not even funny. Gosh. Top five is a really difficult one for me to pick here. Like last year, we had Joel Freeman come in second. That wasn't really expected. Simon came in like third or fourth. McBeth came in. Yeah, all right. You know what? I'm going to go safe with this one. No, I'm not going to go safe. I'm going to go semi-safe. I'm going to go Kevin Jones top five because I don't know. I think he's coming out with something to prove after switching manufacturers. He can crush and he's confident. Not that any of these other dudes aren't, but I just, you know, everyone knows my affinity for Kevin Jones. So yes. We're going to go Kevin.
I did not see that coming, but I'm not. But now that I know
I'm not. I was thinking about going Ricky, but you can have Ricky if you want him.
You know what? I don't want Ricky.
Oh, I'm going to just put that part out and put it out on social media without fun.
Let's see. I'm going to go Simon.
All right.
Yeah.
Going with
crush. Yeah. I know. I've got faith in it.
You know who we are sleeping on for this event? We are sleeping on Nico LaCastro, who plays very well in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Probably should
also, have him. Also McBeth and Wysocki and Calvin Heimberg and Conrad and Sexton. There's so many picks. It's so hard.
It's really hard to pick from. I mean, you go 10 deep and you're not even a 1030 rated player yet. It's insane.
I know.
So I'm stoked. I hope everyone else out there is too. It's going to be a fun week. Keep your eye out on our social media channels and all that good stuff for more from the Las Vegas Challenge. Sarah, I think that's it. I feel like this show is a little on the hefty side today, but it was a big news week. So
yeah.
Thank you to everyone for listening. Sarah, I'm sorry you won't be out in Vegas with us, but I'm sure that you will be nice and toasty inside a house.
Yes. Hey, pro tip. During lunch at my cold, rainy event yesterday, I went to Speedway, my favorite gas station, and got hot chocolate and put it in my hydro flask, and it stayed warm for the entire round. So
there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
I already went out and bought like a 10-pack of hand warmers.
Nice. Oh, another pro tip, and you'll see these because my partner Sean will have them. Instead of the hand warmers that you shake up, because I don't like all the waste and plastic, and sometimes they're not accessible when you need them. We have electronic hand warmers that you can plug in and like with a Sean will have two of them with him. You can try them out. But yeah, you recharge it in your house or in your car.
Oh,
it stays pretty toasty warm.
You're going to have to send me a link to those. That sounds pretty nice, actually.
I will. Yeah, they're called.
I'm the same way. I'm all for that. Like, give me anything electric that I can plug it. Did I tell you I got an electric scooter?
No.
Oh, yeah. I'm on that electric scooter now. It's fun.
That's awesome.
We'll talk about that next.
I think it's called Survival Frog. That's the brand that we have. And they were like $13 on Amazon. I already sold a bunch of people on them this past weekend. So, Yeah. Nice. You're welcome, Survival Frog.
I know, right? Survival Frog. Anyway, that's our show for this week. Thanks again to Des Redding. And thank you, Sarah, to you as always. I hope you have a great week.
Thanks.
And everyone else out there, hit the subscribe button, share with your friends, and let us know how you feel about the show. radio@pdj.com. Until next week, that was Sarah Lamberson. I'm Steve Hill. Be good to each other, and we will talk to you soon on PDJ Radio.